It's made of a slice of heaven and everything else that's sweet.
With your host, Brian Sanchez.
I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
Where we cover nothing but sports.
Garants, and that's guaranteed. That's what that means right there, because they're sweet. That's called You're Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset.
That's right, people. Brian Sanchez in studio. This week's edition of the Sports Report is ready to get underway. We got a good show for you today. Definitely best show I've had yet. I'm going to start you off with the headlines. Then I'm going to bring you the Sports Report Top 10 and the Fantasy Focus. Get you ready for this week in fantasy football. Then I'm going to have Hunter Hornstein on. He's a co-host of The Tailgate, which is on from 8 to 10 tonight. I suggest you listen to that one. That's Sports Talk. Him and Brock Beal cover everything you'll need to know. Fantastic show. Then after them, I'm going to rep the Bay with P-Ab and T-Baby like I do every week. That's something you're not going to want to miss. Just a reminder, everybody, check me out on Facebook. Search The Sports Report on Facebook with Brian Sanchez. You can let me know what you want on the air, what you think of what I'm saying. Everything you need can be found there. Links. Let you know what I'm up to when I'm broadcasting elsewhere. It's just everything. So go ahead, find Sports Report on Facebook, and we'll be good to go. So now I'm going to start off with some headlines. It's kind of a big weekend in football. One of the bigger things that happened was Tim Tebow is now the starter of the Denver Broncos. And I've never seen a quarterback change met with this much mixed emotion. I've seen plenty of people on ESPN and heard people in person talk about how it's finally time for Tebow to get his chance, that he's going to be great, he's going to put the Broncos back on the map, and he's everything they need. He's their Superman, which I've even heard him referred to as, which is a bit much. And then I've heard plenty of people say, oh no, here comes Tebow, can't pass, throws funny, just lobs a ball everywhere. Yeah, he can run, but look at Michael Vick. He's 1-4 and he's running. So what's the big deal there? And we're not even as good as the Eagles. So the jury's out on Tebow. Plenty of people love him. He's the number one jersey sale in his draft class. So that tells you that people are willing to support him. Last week, this last Sunday, he got in for the second half when Kyle Orton was benched. He threw for 79 yards and a touchdown. And he rushed for 37 yards and a touchdown. I'll talk about what that means to fantasy football later in the fantasy focus, but in real life, that's not impressive. He didn't lose the ball, so he didn't do anything terrible, so you might as well give him a shot. And you could always feel the Tebow cloud over Denver. People wanted him. Fans chanted his name. They wanted him in the game. They saw Orton as kind of a deadbeat. He got the big contract a year or two ago. But people wanted Tebow. He was the first-round pick. He's the future. And I know Denver fans in the stadium, they wanted Tebow because they let the coach know that they wanted Tebow. And now all that's done because Tebow got the keys to the car. It's time to drive it. And I think this is a good idea because it's going to prove one way or another, finally, if Tebow's good to go or not. Go ahead, start. It's probably going to be his job for the rest of the season. If he succeeds and they win some games, I mean, they're 1-4, so it's not like they're going to be out of the race because they already are. The Chargers and Raiders are going to run away with this thing, and I put my money on the Raiders to make the playoffs this year. So why not give him a shot? If he wins you a couple games, he proves he could play, then you got your quarterback, and you don't need to worry about it for 4 or 5 years. If he shows that he just can't handle an NFL game because he doesn't have the arm accuracy or he can't read defenses well enough, then you know this offseason you're going to have to go find a quarterback. But that's not even necessarily true. On the Facebook page, my roommate, my friend Tyler Peterson, who is a Broncos fan, wants to know why not give Brady Quinn a shot. He's been in Cleveland, he's been on Denver, and both times he was there, there was a quarterback controversy. In Cleveland, it was with Derek Anderson, and now it's been with Kyle Orton, and it's been with Tim Tebow and whoever else Denver's just trotted through the doors to play quarterback. And he thinks that if you just gave Quinn the team and let him work with it, he'll be a star, just like he was at Notre Dame. Those are valid points. Quinn's never had a chance to prove he's the guy. It's always been Anderson was struggling in Cleveland, so they threw Quinn in there for a couple games as a rookie, and he struggled, and everybody got on his case saying he wasn't what he was supposed to be, which is rough for a rookie. And then Denver traded for him and drafted Tebow at the same time, and that confused people. And it confused me because I don't know why you'd bring in that many quarterbacks when you had already had Orton, who I think is okay, even though he's tied with Rivers and Vic for the league lead in interceptions at 7. So that's a valid point, Tyler, to let Quinn play. My rebuttal would be, when you have Orton on the field or when you have Quinn on the field, their upside isn't what Tebow's is. Their downside isn't what Tebow's is. Tebow's downside is way lower than the downside of Orton or of Quinn, but his upside is so much more because he can run. And I know that's overrated sometimes, but he's a very effective runner. He's a powerful runner. And if he gets hurt running, you got Quinn and Orton. So it's not a Vic situation where there's nobody behind him. And I just think Tebow is a dual threat for a team that's struggling, and it adds an offensive weapon to a team that otherwise doesn't have him. So you got to give him a chance, see if his dynamic play can speak for itself. And it's the Tebow era. It's officially the Tebow era, Tyler, just to let you know. I think he's going to do all right, especially in fantasy. And now we're moving on. CC Sabathia. We might CC you later, as ridiculous as it may seem. It's looking more and more likely that he's going to opt out of his contract. And he wants more money. I mean, who doesn't want more money, even if you have enough money? And Sabathia does. He has 4 years left on his contract. He's going to be making $92 million. That comes out to $23 million a year. And he's unhappy with $23 million to the point where he would give it away and make someone sign him for more. $23 million. This is ridiculous. $23 million a year is not enough for this man. Unbelievable. And then we look at his stats. 19-8 with a flat 3 ERA. First of all, I know it's a hundredth of a point, but your ERA wasn't in the twos. You were in the threes. And you're getting paid $23 million a year. That's pretty good. 19-8. I'll count that win record as inflated because you play for the Yankees and you can give up five some games and still get a win. It's not a Giants situation. So $23 million a year seems like you're making more than you already should be. He said he would stay with the Yankees after he opts out if they paid him more money. And that's just awful. If I was the Yankees, I would take the $23 million a year, split it in half, and go sign two high-quality pitchers to round out a rotation better than they already have. I think they'll be better than having CeCe because they'll have two at the top with Ivan Nova, and hopefully A.J. Burnett will be gone for their sakes. And then they can round out a rotation instead of having Sabathia, Nova, and whatever else they can throw out there hoping that they score seven runs, because it didn't work in the playoffs because they're not there. So that proves that point. And I just can't believe that we're at the point now in sports where a guy's guaranteed $23 million a year for the next 4 years, and it's not enough for him, and he's going to opt out, and he didn't even have a stellar season. Good season, not even a great season. Not worth $23 million a year, certainly not worth more than $23 million a year. So I think that's pretty dumb, but Sabathia doesn't even win the award for dumbest person of the day. The award for dumbest person of the day goes to Steven Garcia, the quarterback for South Carolina. He's a fifth-year senior, and you think that being a fifth-year senior, you would have more wisdom, maybe, more maturity because you're older. Well, it's not true in this case. Maybe in others, not this one. Steven Garcia, South Carolina quarterback, was kicked off of the team today. That's because he had already been suspended five times over his career at South Carolina, And after his last suspension, his fifth one, he agreed that he would not drink anymore. And that's what led South Carolina put him back on the team, because he's talented for what he is, a running quarterback, and they wanted him back. He tested positive for drugs and alcohol. Would have been his sixth suspension, so that they just kicked him out. They benched him last week for inability to play. And I got to imagine, if you're doing that much drugs and alcohol, that your inability to play is because you're not practicing, or your head's not where it should be when you're off the field, which it clearly isn't for this guy. But he definitely wins the award for dumbest person of the day. I'm going to get out now, 11 minutes after the hour. And when we come back, we're going to have the Sports Report Top 10. Top 10 stories that the Sports Report found interesting over the last week since the last show. This is Brian Sanchez on the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. Ryan Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. Got a response from my roommate, Tyler Peterson. Good guy, good guy. He heard what I said about Tim Tebow. Had a little bit of praise in there, I'll admit it. I think he'll be okay. I don't think he'll be any worse than the league leader in interceptions, but Tyler says he'll be everyone's fantasy savior, but he won't bring in the wins. So I'm looking forward to a 1-15 season and an Andrew Luck number one overall pick next summer. You and every single other team are looking forward to an Andrew Luck number one overall pick next year. Even teams with quarterbacks would take Andrew Luck. This guy's so amazing. But I will admit, if Tim Tebow leads you to a 1-15 record, which gets you Andrew Luck, then he should go down as a folk hero in Denver history because of what he got you. It's kind of like Ryan Vogelsong from the Giants. Not only did he pitch well this year, but he was the main piece in the trade that brought over Jason Schmidt, who was the best Giants pitcher for a long time. So that's what Tebow can do for you. So he's either going to win you some games or he's going to get you Andrew Luck. And that's a win-win situation, literally, because both are going to bring you wins. Now we're going to get to the Sports Report Top 10, the top 10 stories that the Sports Report found interesting over the last week. Number one, Mariano Rivera is unsure about his future. He does have one more year left on his contract, in which he's making $15 million. Which Sabathia would cry if he was making $15 million. The closer's 41 years old, and he's not sure if next year's going to be it or not. He's pitching strong. He's still a top three closer in the league, in my opinion. I'd want him out there. Last year, he saved 44 of 49. He had a 1.91 ERA, 60 Ks and 8 walks, and 61 in the third innings. So he's obviously going strong. He hasn't really lost it. He had a down season about 3 years ago, but since then, he's been solid, and I don't think next year will be his last year. He'll make significantly less than $15 million, but he won't stop after next year. He's got it, unless there's just something happens to his body or someone in his family in which he just can't continue. And I hope that doesn't happen because I want him to pitch forever. And the fact that he's 41 and still dominating people makes me think he can. And I don't think next year will be it for Rivera. Number two is Sid the Kid, the rare hockey drop from Brian Sanchez. But I'm changing. I have begun to like hockey more and more. And I'm going to start talking about it more. So here you go. Sidney Crosby has been out with a concussion since January 5th. He's meeting today with medical teams from the Penguins to see if he can start contact. He's been practicing with the team since September 17th, but he hasn't made contact. He hasn't had contact plays. He hasn't hit anybody, been hit. He's just been skating. He wants to start contact now, and hopefully he does because he's one of the marquee names in hockey. Him and Ovechkin are pretty much the two biggies, and with one of them down, it really hurts hockey, and hopefully he'll come back because you never want to see that happen to a young kid, especially one that was getting praised as much as he was when he first came out. I mean, his second year, he led the league in points. I remember that. You're big time if you do that. Now we move on to number three. The Philadelphia Eagles getting a little defensive? Yeah. Like, upset with people getting mad at them. Not defensive like defense on the field. Because they're tied for the worst defense in the NFC. They've given up 132 points, which ties them with Carolina, last year's worst team in the league, for worst defense. And they're talking about bringing in a defensive consultant over their bye week to come work with the team for 2 weeks, get their defense in order because they have good players, but they're getting scored on like crazy. Alex Smith almost went for 300 yards against them. That's pretty much all you need to know. The dream team has been more of a nightmare, and they need to be more productive on defense and offense. They need to cut down the turnovers on offense and get more turnovers on defense, and maybe the specialist will help. I highly doubt it. But either way, I'm moving on to number four. And number four is Caron Butler. Small forward for the Dallas Mavericks. Was a huge part in getting the Mavericks to the playoffs. Didn't help him in the playoffs because he was out with injury. But he said in an interview, because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year, that he's either going to Miami or Dallas next year. He doesn't even want to talk about other teams. Those are the two for him. And I think Miami will be scary if they get Caron Butler. If you use him off the bench, you got a six man better than most people starting small forward. And if you play him and put Wade or Braun at a de facto point guard alongside whoever isn't Wade or Braun and Caron Butler and then Bosch, now you're starting to round out a team. And this is a serious title contender. His defense is scary. He'll lock you down. And he's a very good mid-range shooter. He'd be a perfect complement to that team. And now we're moving on to number five. And number five is Mario Williams, the defensive end slash outside linebacker for the Houston Texans. He tore his pectoral muscle this past Sunday. He's going to be out for the year. Another blow to the Texans after the Andre Johnson blow. And Foster's been hurt all year. And it's just tragic because, first of all, this guy loses his season. And second of all, this was going to be the Texans' year. Manning out for the year. Colts are nothing. Texans every year for the last 3 years have been, this is the year that the Texans finally make it. This was actually the year because they didn't have to face Peyton Manning. And it's just going down the tubes for him. And it's really hard to see, especially with injuries, because you don't like to see people getting hurt. You'd rather it be based on play, but unfortunately it's not. Number six, the Cincinnati Reds are starting Aroldis Chapman. Yeah, he's going to move from a closing setup role to a starter's role. They're ready for him to stretch it out. They're sending him to winter ball. He's going to be a starter. And they want to see those 98, 99s all through the game instead of just one inning. Now, maybe that's because they see Verlander. And Verlander is big time. And he throws heat the whole game. And it really gets to people at the end. Because they're just not used to seeing that from the same person. I think it could work. He was a starter for the Cuban national team before he defected and came over and got signed by the Reds, and I think that's what he'd rather do. So they're going to give it a shot, see how it goes. Number seven. Now, number seven is a little unfortunate because it's about Bud Norris, and Bud Norris is from Novato, nearby Novato. I'm broadcasting right now from San Rafael, and he went to Cal Poly, which is also in California, so it's kind of a local guy, California kid, but I take my Brian Wilson very seriously. I love Brian Wilson. And he's been doing a lot more commercials. Now he's got Taco Bell commercials. Which, you know what? If they're going to pay him to do them, I still think he's pretty funny. So, good for you, Brian Wilson. Bud Norris had to tweet about it because it during the playoff games, the Brian Wilson Taco Bell commercial plays all the time. And I guess Bud Norris got sick of seeing it. Here's his tweet, and I quote, "Does Brian Wilson play baseball or work in Hollywood? I can't tell, but his Taco Bell commercials are a joke." Oh, Bud, big mistake. Because I got jokes, too. You think his is a joke? I'm a pretty funny guy. I'll give you a joke. How about a 6-11 pitcher with a 3.77 ERA on a team that won 100 or that lost 106 games? That's pretty funny to me. That sounds like a joke. And that's you. How about a guy that is the 4 starter on a team that lost 106 games? I think that's a joke. That one's pretty funny. Does that sound familiar, Bud? Yeah, because that's you too. Oh, and to your question of does Brian Wilson play baseball? Not only does he play baseball, but he does what you do, and that's pitch. And he does it 50 times better than you. So I would shut up before Brian Wilson crushes you with his World Series ring, and as you fade away into nothingness, he'll eat Taco Bell and call himself Black Ops and laugh at you all the way. So you need to stay out of Brian Wilson's business. You lost 106 games. You should probably just disappear and not come back. I got a little Sabian Scott Cousins there because I get defensive of my boys. You got that, Norris? Say something about Wilson again. I'm coming after you because the sports report doesn't mess around. All right. Now that I got that out of my system, it felt good. I'm going to move on to number 8. And we're going to take a look back at this weekend in the NFL. I'm going to run through the scores. The New Orleans Saints squeak out another one, this time against the Carolina Cam Newtons. Breeze passed for 359 yards in that one. So New Orleans gets another win. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Tennessee Titans thanks to Big Ben's 5 touchdowns. That was a final score of 38-17. Jacksonville, the Jaguars lose a shot to gain ground in the AFC South race. They lose to the Cincinnati Bengals 30-20. Oakland squeaks one out in memory of Al Davis, which was very sad to hear about over the weekend, but it was a very emotional win. At the end, everyone was very sad to have Al go, but we're very happy that the Raiders were able to do that for him. That was a 25-20 win for the Raiders over the Texans. Buffalo shocks the Eagles 31-24. Go Buffalo. Way to beat the Eagles. That pumped me up. Michael Vick, 4 interceptions, not one of his better ones. The Minnesota Vikings silence the Arizona Cardinals. Adrian Peterson runs for 122 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the spiraling Colts, despite Pierre Garçon's 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. Seattle cruises past the New York Giants 36-25. Doug Baldwin, local guy out of Stanford, you'll be hearing about him more on the show later, 136 yards and a touchdown. The San Francisco Niners destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 48-3. We'll be getting to that on Rep the Bay with P-Ob and T-Baby. Don't you worry about that. We got plenty to say. San Diego squashes the Tim Tebow comeback attempt at the end. 29-24 win for the Chargers on Tim Tebow's quest of getting Andrew Luck for the Broncos. The Patriots beat division foes New York Jets 30-21. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis with 136 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the Sunday night game, the Packers beat the Falcons 25-14. Aaron Rodgers, local guy out of Cal, superstar, 396 yards and 2 touchdowns for him. And the Monday night game where the Detroit Lions advanced to 5-0. Yeah, that's the team the Niners are going to play last week. Little side note, the Lions, last time they were 5-0 was in 1956. And in 1956, they went to 6-0, and they beat the Niners to get to 6-0. So I say we get a little revenge for those 1956 Niners this weekend. But I'll be talking about that with P-Ob and T-Baby too. And they beat Chicago last night. And Javid Best, another guy out of Cal, Bay Area is representing, 163 yards and a touchdown for him. Now we're going to take a look ahead at the NFL. My lock of the week is, in fact, Aaron Rodgers, who I mentioned before. He's playing the Rams this week, and I see the Green Bay Packers just torching them for 60, 70 points. You never know. Upset of the week, give me the Carolina Cam Newtons to beat the Atlanta Falcons. I haven't been impressed with the Falcons this year, and I don't think their defense is ready for a specimen like Cam Newton. The must-win game of the week goes to the Eagles. They're playing division opponent Washington Redskins. They can't afford to lose that game. The division battle of the week, New Orleans Saints at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both of those are expected to contend for the title in the NFC South, so they're going to want to win that one to get on top early. And the game of the week, little biased, but I'm going with the Niners and the Lions, two of the hottest teams in the league. The Lions are looking incredible. Jim Harbaugh is working magic on the Niners, and they're going to be meeting on Sunday in Detroit. We'll see how that goes. I'm ready to see it. And finally, we get to number 10 on the top 10, and that's a look ahead at the NCAA football this weekend. The in-state game of the week goes to Michigan. That's number 11 Michigan at number 23 Michigan State. My lock of the week, this is my Stuart Horn lead pipe lock of the week, and that is number 4 Wisconsin at 5-0 at home against Indiana, who can't beat anybody. So give me them as my lock. Top 25 game of the week is going to be number 6 Oklahoma State at number 22 Texas. 22 Texas just got wrecked in the Red River rivalry game by Oklahoma. They dropped to 22. They need to beat Oklahoma State to stay in the top 25. A loss will surely knock them down. They can't afford that. My game of the week goes to Baylor. Number 20 Baylor is at number 21 Texas A&M. Get to see the stud quarterback from Baylor go up against the Aggies. That's another game that I can't wait to see this weekend. And the upset of the week may not be that conventional of an upset because Florida is unranked and Auburn is at number 24. So that would technically be an upset. And I'm taking Florida to beat Auburn. And that's my upset of the week. When we come back, Hunter Hornstein, co-host of The Tailgate, is in studio. He's going to be on with me talking playoff baseball here on the Sports Report. I'm Brian Sanchez, only on Radio.Dominican.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best. Try everything you can. Don't you worry what they tell themselves when you're away. It just takes some time. Little girl, you're in a little out the ride. Everything will be just fine. Everything will be alright. Hey, you know they're all the same. You know you're doing better on your own. So don't buy in. Live right now. Yeah, just be yourself. It doesn't matter if it's good enough for someone else. It just takes some time. Little girl, you're in and you're out the ride. Everything will be just fine. Everything will be alright, alright. It just takes some time. Little girl, you're in and you're out the ride. Everything will be just fine. Everything will be alright, yourself off yet. It's only in your head to feel left out or look down on.
Brian Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. I got special guests here, Hunter Hornstein, co-host of The Tailgate. Hunter, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's finally nice to be on the Sports Report. I know we have you on our show all the time. And it's finally, it feels different being on the other side of things. I don't have to play with the buttons anymore.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Hunter's show, The Tailgate, he co-hosts that with Brock Beal. That's on from 8 to 10 tonight. And they're nice enough to let me be a featured DJ with them. Third mic, chime in every once in a while from 8 to 9.
I figured Brock Beal's opinion on sports is so outdated now. It's not up to par with Hornstein. You've got Hornstein and Beal and Hornstein. It just gets old after a while. We need some new young blood in there, and you know, I don't know. We might have to end up cutting Beal altogether. Don't tell him I said that, but we might have to do that and bring in B. San.
Oh, don't worry. I'll keep that between you and me. And I know one of the reasons you probably like having me on the show is because Brock does not like baseball. And I love baseball. And I know you're a baseball guy, too.
Yeah, no. Brock has no idea what's going on with baseball. Now, he's a sports guy. I'm not going to, you know, no disrespect to him.
No,
but
absolutely.
He does not. He doesn't know. He didn't play baseball in high school. He didn't play baseball in college. He, you know,
he's a lacrosse guy.
Well, the furthest he's gotten has been T-ball. But he doesn't know the ins and outs of baseball as well as somebody like maybe yourself does. You know, so it's difficult sometimes to talk. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He's credible. I don't want to say he's not. But it definitely helps when there's somebody with equal if not better baseball IQ to banter, to throw around some ideas like yourself.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm going to piggyback off that by letting the people know the reason I brought you in today, and that's to talk about playoff baseball, because I love baseball. I know you love baseball, and we're in the playoffs right now. We're in the championship series. This is big time. People are playing for the World Series. I know what it feels like being a Giants fan. I remember it last year. It's gone now, but it'll stay with me forever. I'm going to start on the NL side, give you a little recap, refresh your memory. Sunday was game one of the Brewers-Cardinals series.
Oh, is that who was playing?
That was.
I thought it was the Pirates and the Dodgers. I'm sorry.
No, they actually got knocked out the round before.
Did they?
Yeah.
They got knocked out in the divisional round, right? The divisional series.
Yeah, a bit of an upset. But Milwaukee won that one 9-6, Greinke with the win. You had home runs from the Brewers in that one from Braun Fielder and Betancourt. And then yesterday was game two, where the Cardinals just flipped the script.
Absolutely.
They beat them 12-3, the Cardinals won. Home runs from Pujols, Freeze, Fielder added another one for the Brewers. And Pujols just went off on that game.
Yeah, Pujols, I mean, you look at the game last night, and then you compare it to the rest of the games he's since played. A very quiet October for Albert Pujols. Obviously, you know, a free agent at the end of the year. The Cardinals are going to want to hold on to him. But that's a different topic for a different day. Looking at him playing, and the one thing that really stands out to me is his slide into home. Pass ball, comes on home, the pitcher's covering. Now, you know, it's a fine line. Do you want to really go ahead and take out the pitcher? You know, that's kind of, some people feel like it's a cheap shot towards the pitcher. The pitcher's very, you know, exposed. It's almost like, you could say, roughing the kicker in football. However, I think you're out there competing. You're getting paid to compete. You're competing for a city. And on top of that, oh, by the way, it's the playoffs. Winner goes to the World Series. I had saw no problem with the slide. He went in very hard, and that's my point. He went in angrily. He went in like he's got something on his shoulder. He went in with a purpose. He didn't go in just to score the run. He went in there and threw an elbow. He went in there, spikes up maybe, and really wanted to break up that play and make sure he was safe. And to me, that's the difference between game one and game two. You've got an angry Pujols in game two. Maybe not so much angry, but you've got a determined, a Pujols that plays with the desire to win, the necessity to win. Losing is not an option. Obviously, this is a very heated rivalry, so you know you've got that factor. As much as athletes hate to say, you know, it's not about, we just play the game. It's not about that. That's BS. That's perfectly BS. I mean, you know that's your rival. We played in high school. We had our rival, and we'd play Friday night games in a big stadium, at Blair Field in Long Beach, California. And we had over 1,000 people at one of those games once. They were number one in the nation. They were undefeated. We only had a couple of losses, and all week the press was saying, hey, you know, our local high school paper, as well as the local Long Beach paper, was saying, what does this game mean to you guys? And said, you know what? It's just another game. That's bull. They know Nigel Morgan doesn't like the Cardinals. Cardinals don't like Nigel Morgan. He might rub you the wrong way. If anything, these two teams hate each other. It's great for baseball. And I think you saw Pujols that played like this really meant the world to him. And this is a guy who, hey, you know what? He's a nice guy and all. But when it comes down to you, he's one of the fiercest competitors on the field.
He's also had a taste of what a World Series victory is, so he knows what he's playing for. He wants it again. And to your point about the rivals, everyone's always going to say that they're not rivals, but even if you're not really hardcore division rivals, if you're in the same division and meet in the championship series, you're going to become instant rivals.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost the same as if, you know, because you don't see that in division series. But I think the closest you can say to that is the Yankees and the Red Sox, who have in recent years not necessarily met in the ALCS. But because of that, you know, everyone knows about the storied rivalry with the Red Sox and the Yankees. It goes back generations. Everybody knows about it. Even if you're not a baseball fan, you know about it. But there's something about postseason ball. When you get two rival teams or two teams that see each other so often that, you know, it's almost as if it's almost like the last season of the series, like the last season or the last series of the season or the last week of the season when you play your division rivals and you're going at it head to head. Perfect example, last year, the Padres and the Giants. Absolutely. It comes down to game 162. That's not even the playoffs. And they're going at it full steam ahead, all hands on deck. We want to play. We're playing to win. Winner goes home. It's not just oh, it's going to be the Rangers and the Tigers. No, these two teams are playing, know each other. They don't like each other. They play each other a lot. They know each other. You've got two of the best slugging first basemen in the game, and Fielder and Pujols.
Yep.
Awesome series. Great series. Better, much better than ALCS, I believe, in my opinion.
And to prove your point, tomorrow they go back to St. Louis, and the pitching matchup is Yovani Gallardo against Chris Carpenter.
How awesome is that? I mean, you thought you got a pitching matchup in Halliday and Carpenter. In all fairness, that was one of the greatest pitching performances I've ever seen in the postseason. Unbelievable. I honestly thought there wasn't going to be any more than one or two runs. I looked at a few people, and I talked to Beal about this on our show, and I said, this game's going to go 1-0.
Yeah, and you were right.
But going back to Gallardo, I mean, you've got... He might be the most underrated pitcher, one of the most underrated pitchers
nasty.
In the big leagues right now.
He's nasty.
I mean, if you don't play in the Central, if you're not a National League guy, you don't see Yovani Gallardo, my goodness. The guy is absolutely filthy.
I remember there's a game against the Giants. He pitched a complete game shutout and hit a home run. So he won the game.
Helps himself. There you go.
It was unbelievable. Now, I want to know who your pick is for tomorrow night's game in the Gallardo-Carpenter matchup.
I like St. Louis at home. I do. I like Carpenter. I mean, after seeing what he did against the Phillies, I think the Phillies offense is a little bit better maybe than the Brewers. The key to me for Carpenter, as long as you are pitching to Braun and Fielder with nobody on, you're going to win the game because I feel like the top of that order for the Brewers has got to get going somehow. You know, you see Ron Renicki put Corey Hart at the top of the order, power threat, trying to help out guys like Niger Morgan and Ricky Weeks. Ricky Weeks is starting to turn it up a little bit. Niger Morgan maybe starting to turn it around. And then, you know, Fielder and Braun just do their thing. I like at home for the Cardinals. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. You're not going to see a blowout. You're going to see a pitching duel. You know, it might
3-2, 4-2.
Something around those lines. I don't think you're going to see more than 6 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, it's going to be one of those games maybe that starts out pretty slow, but towards the end, one team gets ahead, and then the other team goes ahead, and it comes down to the last final at-bats. But I like St. Louis in this. I think they've got enough going, and I think the key to them right now is Pujols. You keep Pujols going, Halliday obviously is locked in. Berkman's locked in. That's a very fearsome three in the middle of that order. And by the way, you got a guy named David Fries,
mm-hmm.
who's just tearing it up right now, who just seems like he's come out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's got 2 home runs in this series. Now, with St. Louis winning tomorrow, would you give them the series? Are you expecting them to make the World Series, or you have the Brewers coming back?
This is a tough one. This isn't like the ALCS. Mm-hmm. This is definitely a tough one. I think both teams are pretty much even as far as offenses. I mean, you've got two offenses that are pretty much clicking right now, and I think that proved that with Game 1 and then obviously with Game 2. As long as Pujols goes, the Cardinals are going to go. The pitching... Man, I like the depth that Milwaukee has. I've always liked the depth that they've had. But after seeing how Markham got roughed up, it seems like 2 consecutive starts for him. Grinke's not the KC Grinke. He's not the guy that's going to strike out 21 batters and take you a one hitter into the 8th. He's not that kind of player anymore. Or he's not that pitcher right now. I don't want to say anymore, but he's not that pitcher. You know, it's a tough one. If whoever wins tomorrow... I think whoever wins tomorrow, I'm not going to say they're going to win the series, but I think whoever wins tomorrow ends up putting themselves in better position and it's their series to lose.
All right, make the pick now. I want to know who your pick is.
I'll go Cardinals. I'll go the Cardinals. I like both teams. It's not that I don't like them. I think they're both great teams.
Do you like the, now that there's a split in Milwaukee, Cardinals are at home? Is that what you like about it?
I like that the Cardinals are home. I think Milwaukee plays very well at home. That plays because it's loud. They close the dome, or they close the roof, I should say. But I like the Cardinals. To me, personally, it doesn't matter because anybody who plays the Rangers in the World Series is going to run into a buzzsaw.
And speaking of the Rangers, they're up 2-0. They've really shown it all in this series. The first game, they won 3-2.
Right.
With a Cruz home run, which seems to be a theme. So they could play the close game. They could play the bullpen game. And they could beat you in a small ball. And then yesterday in game two, they won 7-3. And that, of course, was on the Nelson Cruz walk-off, which overshadows the fact that in the seventh inning, Nelson Cruz tied it.
Right.
Which is the reason they were in the 11th inning.
Right.
So they're really the Texas Nelson Cruzes right now.
Absolutely. And you nailed it. You nailed it on the head that they can beat you at any game. It used to be Texas was a long ball game, was a long ball thing. You know, as far back as maybe 2 years, 3 years ago, they would be in the race for the first half, then their pitchers would die out. That's not the case anymore. You know, you always thought it was Texas. Okay, we go to Texas, we're going to lose 10-7, but we're okay because in August we're going to go ahead and win our division and win the AL West. That's not the case anymore.
Absolutely not.
They are a complete team. I think right now they're not even in the playoffs, but they're the most complete team in the big leagues. You can say what you want about New York. You can say what you want about their offense, but you're looking at a starting staff who there's not a lot of flashy names out there, but they're consistent. I mean, CJ Wilson is an ace. He's an ace on anybody else's staff besides maybe, I don't know, the Cardinals or the Phillies or something. You know, he's an ace on pretty much,
I'd say,
25 other major league staffs.
That's a good estimate.
You know, and you got guys like Colby Lewis who have reinvented themselves. Alexi Agondo, granted he's not in the starting rotation, but
I don't understand.
But he goes to a pen that saw Kuji Uehara. When the trading block happened, you got Uehara and Mike Adams.
Which was monster, getting Mike Adams, I thought.
I think getting both of those guys was the final, hey, we're a complete team now. Because now you're essentially playing a 6-inning game, a 5-inning game with this Rangers team.
Which of course is because they have Feliz at the end.
Absolutely.
The flamethrower.
He's been lights out.
And then you got O'Day coming from the left side with the funky delivery.
You've got the sidewinder, you know, the righty O'Day. I mean, their bullpen is so deep, and you add Agondo back there. Not only does that give you a guy, a long man, just in case, the Tigers decide to wake up. They score 6 or 5 in the first. You pull your starter. Who you got? You got Agondo ready to go. Or like a rain delay. You got Agondo ready to go. If not, hey, you 6th inning, you need a strikeout. You got Agondo. I mean, you look at this Rangers team. 1 through 9, they can hurt you. There's no happy-go-lucky spots in that lineup. They're going to hurt you. And like you said, they can win the one-run game. They're tied up 1-1 now in Detroit. But how long do you think you're really going to hold them down to 1-3 runs? Eventually, like the Nelson Cruz Grand Slam, they're going to get guys on. They're going to get guys on that can drive them in.
Yeah, they'll come up and bite you. And I don't mean to insult your intelligence with this question, but it's going along with the last one. I'm assuming you're picking the Rangers.
I think right now that's the safest pick, the most logical pick. I've been wrong before. I thought I picked the Phillies to win the World Series just because of their pitching staff, and I thought they were a very complete team.
Not after they were up 2-0. You weren't picking them.
I mean, I was picking them. I was picking them at the beginning of the year. I was one of those guys that thought, hey, you've got a starting rotation that's built for not only the regular season but the postseason as well. I think that's something that's very it loses its value in the postseason. You got teams that are very good, built for the regular season, but they make it to the postseason and they're not ready to go. You know, I think you have to have, you know, in a short series, at least two guys that can really take you along the way, and you need to have an offense that doesn't rely on one sort of style of baseball, and that's not what the Rangers do. They can win the long ball, but if they get on, they're going to run too, which is huge.
And they can do it with so many different people. Cruz runs, Hamilton runs, Andrus runs, Kinsler runs. If Bourbon's in, he runs. Young can run a little bit. Everybody moves on that team.
And it's not necessarily that you're looking for stolen bases either. I mean, there's so many different ways you can score a guy with putting the runners in motion. You could start the runner at first with a runner on third and do a safety squeeze or a hit and run or a run in. I mean, there's so many different ways that it's not like the Yankees where they're bogged down.
Where they're waiting for the three-run homer.
Absolutely. And, you know, and Earl Weaver liked to say that was the best play in baseball.
Yep.
And granted, it'll help you. In late innings, you're down two. You get a three-run bomb, you're up now. Everyone will take that. I would take that. But the fact of the matter is you still have to play fundamental baseball, and you still have to be able to score runs and not rely, because you're going to run into some pitchers. You're going to run into a Verlander. You're going to run into, let's say they make the World Series and they face Carpenter, they face Gallardo. You're going to run into some pitchers that are going to be able to shut you down.
Yeah, you'll never make it this far without facing one of those pitchers.
Absolutely
not.
Because
everybody has one. Even bad teams now are starting to have at least one.
Right.
So you're going to get one.
And a lot of that is, you know, you say bad teams that are getting drafting. Because teams have realized that it's not a matter of buying anymore. You have to be able to draft well. You look at the Tampa Bay Rays, a team that's able to draft and put them in position to compete.
Perennially.
Yeah, absolutely. And over again.
And they can trade five and still have the five top prospects in the minor leagues.
Andrew Freeman is one of the best GMs in baseball right now. You look at the Washington Nationals. That's a team that's going to be on the rise pretty soon. You've got
although
Zimmerman.
Asterisk on them, they always have a top two pick. It's hard to mess those up when you got guys like Harper, Strasburg up there.
But is that necessarily? I mean, that's them being rewarded for being so bad. I think that's the way that baseball kind of turns the table a little bit.
I'm just saying there that if I had back-to-back one picks and each year was Strasburg, Harper, you don't need a GM to do that. But
you don't necessarily look at just that as well. I mean, it's not Strasburg and Harper hasn't even played a big league game yet in Nationals Park. Strasburg coming off Tommy John surgery. They're already a pretty decent team. When you look at guys like Clippard, you look at Zimmerman over at
your
third.
Your boy Espinosa.
Espinosa at second is starting to, you know, he's proven he can play at the big league level.
Ian Desmond,
Jesus Flores behind the plate. I mean, it's not necessarily you're looking at, hey, we got one or two top guys. It's those third round picks, those fifth round picks. I mean, look at the Angels. They've got a guy named Mark Trumbo at first base, who they didn't think was going to do anything. He was just a stopgap guy for Kendrys Morales. He got picked in the, I believe it's the 13th round or something, and he hits 29 home runs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And being a Giants fan, I know firsthand what drafting pitching in the first round can do. You get Lindsey, Kane, Bumgarner, they carry you to a World Series. Brian Wilson was drafted as a starting pitcher. So I know what it means to draft pitching in the first round. So you got high praise for the Rangers. They were my World Series pick long before the playoffs even started because I've been that impressed with them even before they made the trades in the bullpen.
No, they're a very, very impressive team. I think they're one of the most underrated teams as well.
That people aren't talking about them as overwhelming favorites.
Well, the one knock I would have on them, they made it to the World Series 1 year last year. Okay. Yeah, they were shut down by a very good pitching staff from San Francisco. However, before that, they hadn't really been making a whole lot of noise. Now they're finally starting, and a lot of that has to do with the philosophy that was going on in Texas, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, the picks they were getting and the draft picks and the scouting and all that. Now they're starting to turn the corner to they can be a perennial power over and over and over again. They are now the class of the AL West. Everyone's looking up at them. A long time it was the Angels. Now it's them.
Yeah, and it's important to note that this is coming from an Angels fan, so he knows.
I've seen Texas play way too many times for my liking. I've seen Josh Hamilton hit way too many balls out. And, you know, part of this is, yeah, I am an Angel fan, and a lot of me wishes that the Rangers would not have this kind of success. But you got to be unbiased, and you got to be realistic about it. This is a great team. They're going to be a good team for a while. It's just a matter of time. They got to keep winning. Then they'll finally get that national recognition that they really want.
You're absolutely right. That's going to do it for us on this segment. I'd like to thank Hunter Hornstein for coming by, talking baseball with me. You can catch him on the tailgate. He co-hosts out with Brock Beal. That's from 8 to 10 tonight. I'm on there for the first hour with them, getting three mic action going. It's a great show. I like to sit there and just listen to them sometimes. I kind of disappear. I don't even talk because the show is that good. We're going to get out now. I got P-Yob and T-Baby on deck. We're going to rep the Bay, and believe me, it is a great day to rep the Bay. If you know what happened with the 49ers on Sunday, and there is no way you're listening to this show and don't know what happened with the 49ers on Sunday. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is a sports report on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be back. Oh, oh, oh.
she stood in the street, smiling from her head to her feet. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's in need of a kiss. I said, hey, what's your name, baby? Maybe we can see things the same. Now, don't you wait, oh, hesitate. Let's move. Home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game, baby? Are you trying to put me in shame? I said, slow, don't go so fast. Don't you think that love can last? She said, love.
Brian Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. I got P-Yob and T-Baby in the building now. I just got the superstar DJs rolling in one after another. How you guys doing today?
What's up, B? We're doing great. We're good. That Niners.
Yeah, we're good. Happy to be here.
Man, you're absolutely right. Now, I want to talk about the Niners defense after what they did to the Buccaneers. And on my Facebook page, Josh Glosser asked me, do you believe in the 49ers in that defense? I'm going to pose a question to you guys first. Do you believe in the 49ers in this defense?
I believe it, and I'll tell you why. One key player out of there, Isaac Sobowaga, out with staph infection. Shontae Spencer didn't even play. Chris Culliver, third-round pick that 49ers got last year's draft, came up big with an interception, almost returned it like for at least 40 yards.
Yep, we talked about him last week.
And also, Ricky Jean-Francois, he got the game ball getting three tackles. I mean, doesn't seem big, three tackles, yeah, but filling in for Isaac Sobowaga, I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Yeah, the Niners defense is definitely solid. And, I mean, Willis is there, but like P.I.P.'s saying, it's not necessarily the Willises who are dominating. I mean, he's definitely contributing to the defense, but it's a lot of these guys who are no-namers going into the season who are contributing, and that makes it a more well-rounded defense, and they're definitely a force to be reckoned with.
No, you're absolutely right. So we look at the Buccaneers stats. Josh Freeman went for 187 yards and two picks. LeGarrette Blount only rushed for 34 yards. Their leading receiver had 54. We had Patrick Willis get 10 tackles. Bowman got 5. So finally, Willis out tackles Bowman.
Yeah.
Justin Smith got 4 tackles and a sack. Alden Smith, the rookie, continues to impress with a couple of sacks. Goldson forces a fumble, and Rodgers gets another interception along with Culliver. This defense is playing well as a team right now. There's no one standout. You can't single out one reason why they're doing so good.
Yeah.
Now, another question from Josh Glosser on the Facebook page, which I encourage people to go and ask his questions on Facebook page. We'll answer for you. We know our stuff. He wants to know our thoughts on Harbaugh and if he's the real deal. I think he is. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, so far, if you don't say he's the real deal, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, he has the 49ers at 4-1 through 5 games. So at this point, he's the real deal. And I'm even going to say, even if they slip off, knock on wood, he's still the real deal because he's got Alex Smith playing the best football of his career. He's got the team smiling. I can't remember the last time the 49ers smiled, like, for multiple quarters. It's been years since that happened. And he's got them playing well. So far, he looks like the real deal.
The real deal, Holyfield. John. Nope. Jim. Sorry. Got confused, man. The brothers, they're playing each other in Thanksgiving.
John's the real deal, too, though.
But John's
Ravens,
a great coach. But Jim, I mean, this guy is, like Eric Allen said in SportsCenter, he makes the 49ers believe in themselves. Mm. And I don't think any other coach since Steve Mariucci made the 49ers believe in themselves. I thought Singletary may have, but Jim Harbaugh is making the 49ers play the best football I've seen since 2003.
You're absolutely right. And the reason I buy into him and him making the difference, this is pretty much the same team that Singletary had last year. It's not like he came in, made a bunch of changes. They didn't get him Kevin Cobb. They didn't bring in an elite receiving corps. They didn't go get him all new secondary. They added a guy, Rodgers, which is making a huge difference. But it's the same team, and he's working magic with them. Now, we focused on the defense, but when you blow out a team 48-3, it's not the defense that's doing all the work. The offense has to do a little something to get you those 48. Alex Smith went 11 of 19 for 170 yards, but got three touchdowns, no interceptions. Frank Gore, 20 rushes for 125. Kendall Hunter, another good game, 9 rushes for 64. You had receiving yards of 75 from Morgan, 39 from Davis, who had two touchdowns, 37 from Walker, who had a touchdown, and 36 from Crabtree, and that was only on two catches. But the main focus has to be in garbage time with Josh Morgan's injury. Now, P-Ab, I know you got some information for me on what they're going to be doing in the absence of Morgan.
Well, reported from CSN Bay Area and 49ersWebZone.com, the 49ers have signed wide receiver Brett Swain, who recently played for the Super Bowl-winning Packers. The Niners actually brought in a few veterans in that training camp who Swain out-dueled. They brought in Chris Chambers, former Pro Bowler for Miami Dolphins. They brought in TJ Houshmandzadeh, former Pro Bowler for the Cincinnati Bengals, and Brian Finneran, a big veteran for the Atlanta Falcons team. And surprisingly, Brett Swain out-dueled all three of those guys.
Now, T-Baby, I got a question for you. We've talked about him before. I know both of you guys are big Delanie Walker fans. Do you think with Morgan out now, we'll see more dual tight end sets and an expanded role from Walker?
I'd definitely like to, and it's important to know that Walker is as fast as many of the receivers in the NFL, so you could even throw him into where Morgan was playing. But I definitely like the two tight end sets. I mean, Davis and Delanie Walker, arguably the two most athletic wide receivers, tight ends in the NFL. So seeing them on the field together would be fantastic for the Niners offense.
What I love last game, three tight end sets. That confused the heck out of Tampa Bay. And not only they didn't even bring in three tight ends, they brought in a defensive lineman just to block, and the other two just ran. Perfect example of Jim Harbaugh's Stanford offense.
And I remember us talking 2 weeks ago how we didn't see any of Harbaugh's Stanford offense in the Niners offense 2 weeks ago. Now we're seeing it with the three tight ends, D linemen coming in, confusing, lining up full run play and passing anyway. This is the creativity they signed Harbaugh for, and that's why you put up 48 on a team like the Bucks. But I want to focus on now is this week's game. Even though that was a great win, you got to put it past you. You got to get ready for the next one. I don't remember the last time the Niners were a game of the week.
Yeah.
And they are, because they're playing the 5-0 Detroit Lions. What are you guys' outlook on this game?
Well, my word at this point is ground level. I picked the Eagles to beat the Niners. I picked the Bucks to beat the Niners. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Lions are going to win, assuming that I'm going to be wrong and the Niners will actually get the win. But I am picking the Lions to win the game.
Which is, even if you're a Niners fan, it's not a foolish thing.
No,
to do.
I mean, they're undefeated.
This Lions team is ridiculous.
Yeah, Stafford's putting up crazy numbers.
Look, man, I'm a diehard Niner fan. I bleed red and gold.
Literally.
But
gold.
Geez, these Lions are looking great. Megatron, man. And Matthew Stafford, they're looking great.
And now you got Sue and Fairley on the
D-line
together.
Oh, jeez, they're monsters.
Fairley made his debut Monday night as well.
Yep.
So.
And I'm with you guys, diehard Niner fan. I'm going to take the Lions out of respect for the Lions, not because I don't think the Niners can do it. If the Niners win, I won't be 100% surprised.
Yeah, definitely.
But this Lions team is good, and they're the real deal. And I cannot wait for Lions-Packers.
Yeah.
That's going to be
great. And how funny does that sound? The Lions are the real deal.
Yeah.
How funny does that sound? If you said that a year ago, people would say you're crazy.
They haven't been good since 92.
Yeah.
I mean, 94, they were okay, but
all right, Mr. Historian over here.
I'm sorry, but these Lions, they're
the real. They're for the real deal, yes.
Better than Jim Harbaugh.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of this segment. T-Baby, you want to tell them what's on next?
Yes, I will, sir. What are you talking about? We'll be on any second now with me and P-Op, so stay tuned, please.
All right, that's going to do it for me on the Sports Report. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is radio.dominican.edu. Thank you, and you stay classy, San Rafael.
My life be like, ooh, yeah, ooh. My life be like, ooh, yeah, ooh. Yeah, ooh. My life be like, ooh, yeah, ooh. My life be like, times like these that make me say, yeah, oh, did you say?
minded. Low key and stand candid. Reflect on all the things I try my hand at. Search for the equation to persuasions I'm used to. Finding comfort in the zones of closet.
Losing faith, I try.